Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson on Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer 23. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ, as our Redeemer, executeth the offices of a prophet, and of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. This question and answer goes back to the earlier questions and answers in the Catechism, which introduce the idea of a Redeemer. In question 20, the question is, did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? No. God determined to deliver individuals out of the estate of sin and misery and bring them into an estate of salvation. And the very end of the answer says, by a Redeemer. And who is the Redeemer of God's elect? The only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being the eternal Son of God, became man, and so was and continueth to be both God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. In other words, the idea of the Redeemer takes us back to the doctrine of the Trinity. On one hand, you may view the Trinity in accordance with being. We call this the ontological Trinity. How many persons are there in the Godhead? The Catechism asks. Answer, there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. The three persons, according to being, are the same in substance. And since this is the case, they are equal in power and glory. One is not subordinate to the other. But now in the Catechism, when we speak about the Redeemer of God's elect, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and who is the second person of the Trinity, who became man, we are now looking at the Trinity from a different perspective. We are looking at the Trinity from the perspective of the duties of each person of the Godhead, the duties that each person of the Godhead has in the economy of redemption, in the economy of salvation. And so we call this the economic Trinity. There are different duties. And the duty of the Son of God is to enter the world in accordance with the Father's plan and carry out certain duties as the Redeemer. And so, we have in Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5 the following. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. The Redeemer, Jesus Christ, came into the world as a man for the purpose of redeeming His people, of redeeming God's elect. And so, here we now have the question and answer, what offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? And The answer is the offices of a prophet and of a priest and of a king. When the Catechism uses the term offices, what the Catechism is referring to is the duties incumbent upon the Redeemer as prescribed by the Father. In our contemporary world, we speak of police officers, for example. The police officers have a duty given to them by a city or by a specific state, and the police officers take an oath when they enter upon their duties, and they swear that they will carry out the duties given to them by the city or by the state. They enter upon a particular office, as it were. And in your church, there are certain officers. The pastor and the elders and the deacons in your church are the officers in your church. And the pastor and the elders and the deacons each take an oath of office. That is, when they enter upon the duties they are to perform, they take an oath of office, and they swear before God that they will carry out the duties given to them as they enter in or enter upon the office that they are taking. And it's similar with the Lord Jesus Christ. His office is the office of a prophet and the office of a priest and the office of a king. And before the Father, he promises that he will carry out certain duties and responsibilities as he is in the world as God's Redeemer. And the offices he swears allegiance to are the offices of a prophet and of a priest and of a king. In Acts chapter 3, you will notice that Peter speaks about Christ having the office of a prophet, and Peter quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, where God said to Moses, and here's the quotation, verse 22 in chapter 3, Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed to everything he says to you." God was saying to the people of old that he would raise up a prophet like Moses. And in the New Testament, we discover that Jesus Christ is that prophet. And in Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, the Apostle Peter is affirming the fact that Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, is indeed that prophet. And in the next lesson, we're going to look at how the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills the office of a prophet. But the Scriptures also tell us that Jesus Christ is a priest, that Jesus Christ fulfills the office of a priest. In Hebrews chapter 7, the writer to the Hebrews speaks about the ancient priest Melchizedek. And the book of Hebrews speaks about Melchizedek and Jesus Christ from two different perspectives. First of all, in verse 3, Melchizedek is defined. And listen to what the text tells us, that Melchizedek is without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, he remains a priest perpetually. There is a relationship that obtains between Melchizedek and Jesus Christ. I didn't point this out earlier when looking at Acts 3:22, but there's a relationship between Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. God was going to raise up a prophet like Moses, and that prophet, it turns out to be, is Jesus Christ. And because there is this special relationship between Moses and Jesus Christ, we say that Moses is a type of Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the answer to the type. In the same way, because Melchizedek is like the Son of God, Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Melchizedek foreshadows Jesus Christ. And in verse 15, we see the relationship given in a slightly different way. And this is clearer still. If another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, it's not that Melchizedek is like Christ. Now it's Christ who is like Melchizedek. You see, there is a relationship the Bible establishes between Melchizedek and Jesus Christ. Melchizedek is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And since Melchizedek is a priest, Jesus Christ is also a priest. Because Moses was a prophet, Jesus Christ is also a prophet. He is a prophet like Moses. He is a priest like Melchizedek. And so Christ our Lord, the Redeemer, occupies the offices of a prophet and of a priest. But Christ is also king. Christ is also king. And we read that this is the case in the book of Revelation, and it's quite clear. Verse 14 in chapter 17. These will wage war against the Lamb. And who is the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. He is the Lamb who takes away, as John the Baptist says, takes away the sins of the world. He is the Lamb whose throat is slit and who is seen standing and living. The Lamb is a type of Christ. The Lamb looks forward to Jesus Christ. The sacrificial Lamb of the Old Testament foreshadows Jesus Christ. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and the chosen and the faithful. Who is the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus Christ. And the Lamb is Lord of lords and King of kings. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, even as he was on the cross in his humiliation, was Lord of all, Lord and King. And our Lord Jesus Christ is King of the nations. The book of Daniel displays this quite well. In the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar learns that the great God of heaven is the one who establishes men on their thrones and takes men off of their thrones. Nebuchadnezzar had to learn this lesson. It was a lesson in which he acknowledged that the great God of heaven has dominion over all things, that he is Lord of nations and Lord over men and women. And this is the lesson of Daniel in the lion's den. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for not bowing down as commanded by the king, not bowing down to worship idols, the great God of heaven closed the mouths of lions and displayed himself to be the Lord of men and nations. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Catechism speaks of his being a prophet and a priest and a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. Here is the idea of both humiliation and exaltation in Philippians chapter 2. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and set aside his prerogatives as the second person of the Trinity and became a man and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, and died on behalf of sinners. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords humbled himself and bowed before the mighty hand of the Father and took the wrath of the Father upon himself on behalf of sinners like you and me. Verse 9, for this reason God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Having died on that cross and having been buried in a tomb, the Father raised him again from the dead. And our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, and he took his proper place on the throne of the Majesty on high as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is given a name which is above every name, so that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this is why the basic Christian confession is that Jesus Christ is Lord. You and I must bow before Him. He is your prophet. He is the one who speaks the Word of God to you truly, graciously, lovingly, mercifully. He is the one who sheds His blood on the cross as the great high priest. And He is the one who ascends into heaven and sits on the throne of the majesty on high. He does all of this as our Redeemer. And as our Redeemer, He has the power and the authority to come to each one of us and take us out of the estate of sin and misery and bring us into the estate of salvation. God does this by Jesus Christ. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ, as our Redeemer, executeth the offices of a prophet and of a priest and of a king in both His estate of humiliation and exaltation. Bow before your prophet, priest, and king, your Lord Jesus Christ. Love Him and serve Him. Thanks for listening.